A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Your toolbox is right now, at this moment, getting weaker. Even if it's sitting closed on a shelf, ultraviolet radiation doesn't care that the lid is shut. It's breaking down polymer chains at the molecular level, and by the time you see the white chalky surface or the crack at the hinge, the structural integrity was gone months ago. Welcome to My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. So Daniel sent us this one. He's looking for recommendations on a high-quality toolbox. Not a massive rolling cabinet, but something with a few compartments for screws and the usual hand tools. And the key constraint is he's in Israel, where anything left outside is getting absolutely hammered by sunlight. He prioritizes durable, rugged products, and he wants to know what sizes make sense for a beginner, what materials to look for, and which brands actually deliver on quality.
This is one of those questions where the standard internet advice completely falls apart. Most buying guides are written for someone in Minnesota or Manchester. They don't account for 300-plus sunny days a year, UV index hitting 11 in July, ambient temperatures that turn a closed toolbox into a polymer oven.
And we should define what we mean by high quality in this context, because it's not the same as what a woodworker in a climate-controlled shop needs. Here, the primary enemy isn't impact or weight load, it's photo degradation. And the secondary enemies are thermal expansion cycling and, if you're near the coast, salt corrosion.
Let's break this down properly. The three things Daniel's asking about: size strategy, materials, and brands. But we're going to answer them in an order that actually makes sense for someone buying their first decent toolbox in a high UV environment.
The first decision isn't material or brand, it's size. And most beginners get this exactly wrong.
I know where this is going. The one-box trap.
The one-box trap. Here's what happens. Someone starting out thinks, I'll buy one big toolbox, 22 inches or even 26, and I'll grow into it. They fill it inefficiently, everything rattles around, they end up carrying 15 kilos of tools for a 2-kilo job, and within 18 months the lid hinges have cracked from UV embrittlement because the thing is too big to conveniently store anywhere except on the balcony.
The sheer surface area. A 26-inch box left in the sun is presenting a massive target to UV radiation. Every square centimeter is a potential failure point. Whereas a smaller box that lives in a canvas tote bag or inside a shaded cabinet might see a tenth of the cumulative exposure.
Here's the size strategy I'd recommend for a beginner. First, a 12-inch portable box for daily carry. This holds your core kit. Screwdrivers, pliers, tape measure, utility knife, maybe a small level. Internal depth on these is typically 2.5 to 3 inches, which is enough for most hand tools but not for anything with a long shaft.
Like a claw hammer.
A standard 16-ounce claw hammer is about 13 inches long. It won't fit flat in a 12-inch box. Which brings us to Tier 2, a 19-inch cantilever box. These are the ones that open up in tiers, usually around 19 by 10 by 10 inches. They let you store hammers, levels, pry bars vertically without bending shafts or damaging edges. And the cantilever mechanism means you're not digging through layers to reach the bottom. A 22-inch chest for stationary storage. This is the box that lives in your workshop or storage closet. It holds power tools, consumables like sandpaper and screws, things you don't need to carry to every job. But here's the thing. I would tell most beginners to skip this entirely until they have more than 30 tools. It's the tier you earn, not the tier you start with.
There's also a UV-specific argument for modular, smaller boxes that most people don't think about. A larger box has more surface area exposed to sunlight, which accelerates material fatigue across the entire structure. But it's not just about cumulative dose. It's about thermal mass. A bigger box heats up more slowly, but it also retains heat longer. So you get this prolonged thermal soak that keeps the polymer at elevated temperatures for hours after the sun goes down.
Elevated temperature accelerates every degradation pathway. UV-induced chain scission, oxidation, loss of plasticizers. Heat is a catalyst for all of it. So a small box that heats up quickly, but also cools down quickly, might actually have a net advantage over a large box that bakes for hours.
Let's put some numbers on this. We found a case. Someone in Tel Aviv bought a 26-inch rolling chest for a balcony workshop. After 18 months, the lid hinge points cracked. Not from impact, not from overloading. Pure UV embrittlement. The polymer lost its elasticity, and the repeated stress of opening and closing the lid concentrated at the thinnest point of the hinge, and it fractured.
Meanwhile, a 12-inch portable box stored in a canvas tote showed no degradation after 3 years. Same climate, same sun exposure, but the tote blocked most of the UV, and the smaller thermal mass meant less heat soak.
The size recommendation isn't just about what fits your tools. It's about what fits your storage reality. If you can keep a small box in a bag or a cabinet, it'll outlast a larger box that has to live exposed.
I should note, UVA radiation, which is the 315 to 400 nanometer range, penetrates cloud cover. It penetrates standard window glass. So even a toolbox on a covered balcony behind a glass door is getting degraded. Shade helps, but it's not a complete solution. The only complete solution is a material that inherently resists UV, or a physical barrier like a bag or a case.
But of course it penetrates glass, because nothing about this is easy.
Welcome to materials science. So once you've got the size strategy locked, the real battle begins. What is the box actually made of?
This is where most of the advice online falls into two useless camps. Camp 1 says, buy the cheapest plastic box and replace it when it breaks. Camp 2 says, buy a $500 Pelican case and never think about it again. Neither is helpful for someone who wants to spend responsibly and get something that lasts.
Let's break down the three categories that actually matter. Polypropylene, polycarbonate, and aluminum. PP is what you'll find in probably 80% of consumer toolboxes. It's cheap, it's lightweight, it's reasonably impact resistant. But in its raw form, polypropylene is extremely vulnerable to UV degradation.
What's actually happening at the molecular level?
UV photons have enough energy to break carbon-carbon bonds in the polymer backbone. This is called chain scission. The long polymer chains get chopped into shorter segments and the material loses its mechanical properties. It becomes brittle, it cracks, it develops that chalky white surface layer. In polypropylene, without UV stabilizers, this process has a half-life of about 6 months in direct sunlight at UV index 10, which is a typical Israeli summer day.
Half the structural integrity, gone in 6 months.
That's not an exaggeration. Now, manufacturers can add UV stabilizers, things like hindered amine light stabilizers or HALAS and UV absorbers like benzotriazoles. These compounds intercept the UV energy and dissipate it as heat before it can break polymer bonds. A properly stabilized polypropylene can last 2 to 3 years in direct sun, sometimes more.
Which is why you see UV stabilized or UV resistant on some boxes and not others. The stabilizers cost money. Cheap boxes skip them.
Stanley's standard consumer line, for example, uses polypropylene with minimal stabilizers. In Israeli conditions, those boxes typically fail in 12 to 18 months of outdoor exposure. The hinge goes first, then the lid develops stress cracks, and eventually the whole thing is held together with duct tape and regret.
The duct tape stage of grief.
Then there's polycarbonate. PC is a fundamentally different polymer. It has aromatic rings in its backbone that inherently absorb UV radiation and dissipate the energy without breaking bonds. It's not that PC has stabilizers added, it's that the polymer itself is UV resistant at the molecular level. A good polycarbonate box can last 5 to 7 years in direct sun.
This is what Pelican uses.
Pelican uses a proprietary polycarbonate blend with additional UV absorbers and stabilizers. Their cases are rated for continuous outdoor exposure under MIL-STD-810G, which is the military standard for environmental testing. That includes UV exposure, thermal shock, humidity, the works. They're not messing around.
They're also heavy and expensive. A 12-inch Pelican case is going to run you $150 or more.
And that brings us to the third category, aluminum. Aluminum has zero UV degradation. The sun cannot break down aluminum the way it breaks down polymers, but aluminum has its own problems. Thermal expansion is the big one. Aluminum's coefficient of thermal expansion is 23 times 10 to the minus 6 per degree Celsius. What that means in practice, a 22-inch aluminum box heated from 20 degrees to 50 degrees Celsius, which is entirely possible on an Israeli summer day, expands by about half a millimeter across its width. That doesn't sound like much, but if the box isn't designed with expansion gaps in the hinges and latches, you get binding, warping, or permanent deformation.
50 degrees is conservative. If the box is sitting in direct sun on a hot surface, the metal itself can hit 60 or 70 degrees.
The other issue with aluminum is corrosion. If you're in Haifa or anywhere near the coast, salt spray will attack aluminum over time. Anodized aluminum resists this much better than painted aluminum, because anodizing creates a hard aluminum oxide layer that's chemically stable. Painted aluminum, once the paint gets scratched, and toolboxes get scratched, exposes raw metal that will pit and corrode.
Aluminum wins on UV life, but loses on thermal management and portability. And it's heavy.
It's heavy, and it dents. People think aluminum toolboxes are indestructible, but drop a hammer from height onto an aluminum lid, and you'll get a dent that can interfere with the seal. The gauge thickness matters enormously. Thin aluminum. Anything under about 1.2 millimeters is more of a cosmetic box than a real protective solution.
We've got three materials, each with a different failure mode. Polypropylene fails from UV unless it's stabilized, and even then it has a limited life. Polycarbonate resists UV much better but costs more and weighs more. Aluminum ignores UV entirely, but expands, corrodes, and dents. There's no perfect material.
There isn't. It's about matching the material to your actual use case. If you're carrying the box daily, weight matters, so a UV-stabilized PP or PC makes sense. If the box is going to live on a rooftop and never move, aluminum with anodizing might be the play. If you're near the coast, the corrosion risk pushes you back toward polymer.
Let's get specific about brands, because material choice is only theoretical until you know what's actually available.
Daniel's in Israel, so availability matters. Let's start with the polycarbonate option. Pelican is the gold standard. Their cases are made from a proprietary PC blend, they come with a lifetime warranty, and they're genuinely rated for continuous outdoor exposure. Pelican is distributed in Israel by Zanbar, so you can actually get them. But the price is steep. A 12-inch Pelican case starts around $150, and a cantilever-style box can run $250 or more.
Is the lifetime warranty honored in Israel?
That's the question, isn't it? Pelican's warranty is global in theory, but the practical experience varies. Zanbar handles warranty claims, and from what I've seen, they're reasonably responsive, but the process can take weeks. You're not walking into a store and walking out with a replacement. You're shipping the box, waiting for evaluation, and hoping.
Factor in downtime.
Factor in downtime. Next category, aluminum. Stanley Proto is the name to know here. Proto is Stanley's industrial division, completely different from their consumer line. Proto aluminum cantilever boxes are used in military field kits and industrial maintenance. They're built with thicker gauge aluminum, proper anodizing, and expansion-tolerant hinge designs. A 19-inch Proto cantilever box runs about $80 to $120.
That's actually less than I would have guessed.
It's reasonable for what you're getting. Proto is distributed in Israel by KSP, and they have a solid reputation for honoring warranties on industrial tools. The catch is that Proto boxes are heavy. A 19-inch aluminum cantilever box can weigh 4 or 5 kilos empty. Add tools, and you're carrying serious weight.
Which circles back to the size strategy. That 19-inch aluminum box isn't your daily carry. It's your workshop storage.
Which brings us to the mid-range option that I think is the sweet spot for most beginners. DeWalt Tough System. These are polypropylene boxes, but DeWalt uses UV stabilizers in their blend. They're modular and stackable, so you can start with a 12-inch box and add a larger unit later if you need it. The 12-inch box runs about $50, and the 19-inch about $70 or $80. Widely available in Israel. Ace Hardware, Home Center, most construction supply stores carry DeWalt Tough System. That matters, because if a latch breaks or a seal fails, you can get a replacement locally without waiting for a specialty distributor to order from the U.S.
There's a hidden advantage to buying from a brand with local retail presence. If you're a beginner and you're not sure exactly what size or configuration you need, you can actually go to the store. Put your hands on the box. See how the latches feel. Check whether your hammer fits. You can't do that with a Pelican ordered through a distributor.
The latches matter. A lot of toolbox failures aren't catastrophic structural cracks. They're latch failures. A cheap latch made of unstabilized polymer will snap off within a year in direct sun. DeWalt's Tough System latches are glass-reinforced nylon, which is much more UV-resistant than unreinforced polypropylene.
Let's talk about what to avoid. The unbranded import boxes you find in shooks and discount hardware stores. They're temptingly cheap, $10 or $15 for a box that looks roughly like a DeWalt. But they use recycled polypropylene with no UV stabilizers. Recycled PP already has shorter polymer chains from the first round of processing, so it's starting from a weaker position. Add sunlight and you've got a box that might not survive a single summer.
There was actually a comparison test that illustrates this perfectly. Someone left a Pelican 1450 case and a Stanley consumer-grade PP box on a rooftop in Beersheba for 2 years. Beersheba is about as harsh as it gets. High UV, extreme heat, dry conditions that accelerate polymer embrittlement. After 2 years, the Pelican had minor color fading, but structural integrity was intact. The Stanley box had hinge failure at 14 months and a lid crack at 20 months. Same conditions, different materials, dramatically different outcomes.
The Stanley consumer box isn't even a bad product. It's just not designed for that environment. If you used it in a garage in Connecticut, it would probably last a decade.
The environment is the spec, and Israel's environment is extreme by global standards. The average UV index in July is 11. That's classified as extreme. For comparison, New York City averages about 7, London about 5. And 11 means unprotected skin burns in about 10 minutes. Now imagine what that's doing to unprotected polypropylene over the course of months and years.
Let's build the actual buying plan. If Daniel or anyone in a similar climate is starting from scratch, what's the first purchase?
Start with a 12-inch UV-stabilized polypropylene box from DeWalt Tough System, about $50. This is your daily carry. It holds your screwdrivers, pliers, tape measure, utility knife, small level, maybe a set of drill bits. Keep it in a canvas tote bag when you're transporting it. The bag blocks UV and adds a layer of thermal insulation.
The tote bag is also just practical. You can throw in a water bottle, your phone, whatever else you need on a job.
Second purchase, if and when you need it, a 19-inch aluminum cantilever box from Stanley Proto, about $100. This is your home workshop storage. It holds hammers, levels, pry bars, larger wrenches, things that don't fit in the 12-inch box. Because it's aluminum, you don't have to worry about UV degradation at all, but keep it off the ground.
That's a critical detail. Hot concrete in Israeli summers can reach 60 degrees Celsius. If your toolbox is sitting directly on that, it's conducting heat into the box and everything inside. Wooden pallet, rubber mat, even a folded cardboard box. Anything that breaks the thermal bridge will help.
For aluminum specifically, keeping it off the ground also reduces corrosion risk from ground moisture, especially if you're near the coast. A silicone wipe down every few months adds another layer of protection against salt.
Third purchase, the 22-inch chest. Skip it until you have more than 30 tools. By the time you need it, you'll know exactly what configuration works for your workflow, and you won't be guessing.
There's a maintenance hack that extends the life of any polypropylene box by 2 to 3 times. Apply a UV-blocking clear coat every 12 months. Rust-Oleum makes a product called 2X UV Protection Clear Coat. It's about $10 a can. One can will do several boxes. You're essentially adding a sacrificial UV-absorbing layer on top of the polymer. The clear coat degrades instead of the box.
You just spray it on like paint?
Clean the surface, mask off any seals or gaskets, apply 2 light coats. It takes about 15 minutes of actual work, plus drying time. Do it once a year, ideally in early spring before the intense summer UV kicks in. For a $50 DeWalt box, this could mean the difference between replacing it in 3 years and replacing it in 8 or 9.
That's a phenomenal return on 15 minutes of work.
It really is. And for aluminum boxes, the equivalent maintenance is a silicone cloth wipe down. Silicone displaces moisture and leaves a thin protective film. It prevents the salt corrosion that's the main failure mode for aluminum in coastal environments. You can get a silicone impregnated cloth for about $5 at any hardware store.
let's talk about the budget hierarchy, because I think people need a clear ladder. $50 to $80 gets you into DeWalt Tough System territory. UV-stabilized polypropylene, modular, widely available. This is the best first decent toolbox for this climate. $80 to $120 gets you into Stanley Proto Aluminum. Zero UV worries, but heavier and requires some maintenance. $150 and up gets you Pelican. Polycarbonate, lifetime warranty, the most complete protection. But it's overkill for most beginners.
I'd agree with that. The Pelican is for when your tools are irreplaceable or your work depends on absolute reliability. If you're a field technician carrying calibrated instruments worth thousands of dollars, the Pelican pays for itself the first time it prevents damage. If you're a homeowner with $100 worth of hand tools, the DeWalt is the rational choice.
There's also a psychological dimension here that nobody talks about. If you spend $150 on a toolbox as a beginner, you might be reluctant to actually use it. You'll baby it. You'll keep it inside. And then when you need tools, you're making 5 trips back and forth instead of carrying the box to the job. A $50 box you'll actually use is worth more than a $150 box you're afraid to scratch.
That's an important point. The best toolbox is the one that's with you when you need it. And a Pelican left in the closet because it's too precious to risk is not serving its purpose.
To recap the actionable recommendation, start with a 12-inch DeWalt Tough System box. Keep it in a canvas tote. Apply Rust Oleum UV Clear Coat once a year. If you need more capacity, add a 19-inch Stanley Proto aluminum cantilever box for workshop storage. Keep it on a rubber mat or pallet. Wipe it with silicone every few months. Skip the 22-inch chest until your tool collection demands it.
Avoid the unbranded import boxes entirely. The $10 you save will cost you $50 in frustration and replacement within a year.
This all makes sense if you're starting fresh. But I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier. The idea that shade isn't a complete solution. Because I think a lot of people here keep it out of the sun and think they've solved the problem. But UVA goes through clouds, goes through glass, bounces off surfaces. A toolbox on a covered balcony is still getting significant cumulative exposure.
The physics here is worth understanding. UV radiation is divided into 3 bands, UVA, UVB, and UVC. UVC is mostly absorbed by the atmosphere, so we don't worry about it at ground level. UVB is what causes sunburn, and it's partially blocked by glass and clouds. UVA is 315 to 400 nanometers. It penetrates clouds almost completely. It penetrates standard window glass with about 70 to 80% transmission. And it penetrates deeper into materials than UVB.
The UVA is doing the deep structural damage even when you think you're protected.
UVB causes surface damage, the chalky white oxidation you can see. UVA penetrates and breaks bonds throughout the material thickness. A toolbox behind a window is protected from UVB surface damage, so it looks fine. But the UVA is still doing its work, and one day the hinge snaps and you think it came out of nowhere. It didn't. It was accumulating damage the whole time.
This is why the canvas tote bag is such an elegant solution. It's a physical barrier. 0% UV transmission through the fabric. It doesn't matter what wavelength it is, and you don't have to think about it.
Physical barriers beat chemical stabilizers every time for exactly that reason. A stabilizer molecule can only absorb so many UV photons before it's consumed. A layer of canvas absorbs photons forever.
That's the practical roadmap. But this problem hints at something bigger. We're talking about toolboxes, but the underlying challenge is how to design outdoor equipment for a world that's getting hotter and sunnier. Climate change is increasing UV exposure in many regions, not just through higher temperatures, but through changes in cloud cover patterns and atmospheric chemistry.
The material science response is interesting. We're seeing a shift toward inherently UV-resistant polymers rather than additive-based approaches. Polycarbonate, polyetheramide, certain fluoropolymers. These have UV resistance built into their molecular structure, not sprayed on as an afterthought. The Pelican approach, essentially, but applied more broadly.
There's also an emerging category that I think we'll see more of in the next few years. Smart toolboxes with embedded sensors. Some industrial cases already have RFID tags for inventory tracking. The logical next step is UV exposure sensors that track cumulative dose and alert you when the polymer is approaching its degradation threshold.
That's not science fiction. The technology exists. It's just a question of whether the cost comes down enough for consumer products. A simple UV dosimeter, basically a patch that changes color with cumulative exposure, costs pennies to manufacture. Integrating that into a toolbox lid so you can glance at it and know whether it's time to apply another clear coat or consider replacement, that's a useful feature.
The replace me indicator. Like the stripe on a toothbrush.
Exactly like that. But for a $50 product, the manufacturer has a perverse incentive not to include it. They'd rather you replace the box sooner.
Planned obsolescence versus informed maintenance. The eternal tension.
All right, I think we've covered the ground. Size strategy. Start small, modular, 12-inch portable plus 19-inch cantilever when needed. Materials: UV-stabilized polypropylene for portability, aluminum for stationary storage, polycarbonate if budget allows. Brands: DeWalt Tough System for the sweet spot, Stanley Proto for aluminum, Pelican for the premium option. Maintenance: UV clear coat annually, silicone wipe for aluminum, keep it off hot concrete, and a canvas tote is your cheapest and most effective UV shield.
The canvas tote, the unsung hero of this entire episode.
Sometimes the low-tech solution is the best one. Now, before we wrap up.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1880s, a theory circulated among European acoustic engineers that recordings etched into cylinders of salt-crusted clay, harvested from the shores of the Aral Sea, would produce superior fidelity because the salt crystals would align with sound vibrations at a molecular level. The theory was abandoned after every single cylinder dissolved within hours of playback.
They recorded onto salt and were surprised when it dissolved.
The Aral Sea Basin was apparently the Silicon Valley of terrible ideas in the 1880s. That's the practical roadmap for a high-quality toolbox in a high UV environment. But I want to leave listeners with a broader question. We designed this whole episode around Israel's climate, but the principles apply anywhere with intense sun. The American Southwest, Australia, the Mediterranean Basin, large parts of Africa and South America. As global temperatures rise and UV exposure increases, the toolbox problem becomes a microcosm of a much larger material science challenge. How do we design outdoor equipment for a hotter, sunnier world? The answers we're developing now. Inherently UV-resistant polymers, modular systems that let you replace components instead of entire units, low-tech physical barriers. These are going to apply to everything from agricultural equipment to emergency shelters.
If you've got a weird prompt about outdoor gear, material durability, or anything else at the intersection of physics and daily life, send it to prompts@myweirdprompts.com. We read everyone.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts.
Store your toolbox in a canvas bag. Your future self will thank you.
See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.